gonna spend another lonely night. Ooh. I've got the lights turned up, the doors locked, the bedroom TV's on. Doing the only thing that gets me through the night since you've been gone. Praying for daylight, waiting for that morning sun, so I can act like my whole life ain't going wrong. Baby, come back to me, I swear I'll make it right. Don't make me spend another lonely night. Daylight. I made a bad miscalculation, betting you would never leave. Cause if you're getting on with your new life, then where does that leave me? So I can act like my whole life ain't going wrong. Baby, come back to me, I swear I'll make it right. Don't make me spend another lonely night praying for daylight. Praying for daylight. Praying for daylight. As much as I love you, and that you must be lying somewhere looking up to heaven too. Praying for daylight, waiting for that morning sun, so I can act like my whole life ain't going wrong. Don't make me spend another lonely night praying for daylight, waiting for that morning sun, so I can act like my whole life ain't going wrong. Baby, come back to me, I swear I'll make it right. Don't make me spend another lonely night praying for daylight.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I am kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio. Liberty Lounge. every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle.
Nobody will stand with you if you don't stand. God can't stand with you if you don't stand. And don't stand and then sit down. It's worse. It sets a precedent. You know, count the cost. The cost may be dear. It may be everything. It may be your life. Okay? But unless we're willing to value freedom more than our lives, do we really deserve freedom? God can't stand with a man until the man stands. And so God is waiting for us to stand. And at that moment that when he stands, God could stand with him. And then the other thing is that people could stand with him. You know, nobody can stand with you until you stand.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. And it is the 17th of May. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. And get my crystal ball turned around the right direction here. Okay, we were tonight supposed to have a show with Doc on here with me. And it's just not working out. I got to have somebody sit down with me and walk me through these programs here and try to make that happen. But I think what Doc and I might do is get together and create a pre-record of the show that we have so desperately tried to get on for you and play it next Wednesday. So let me see who all we got in the chat room here. Chat room's a little skinny tonight. NM Glock's getting to be a regular fixture. I'm glad to see that. And Doc and Minnie and Mother Earth. Mother Earth probably left her thing on there. Wow, we are short some people tonight. Come on. Wednesday night. You know, ever since we changed the time to 8:30 on Wednesdays, for some reason, that information just doesn't seem to be getting out. Everybody comes on at 8 o'clock and say, where's Cope? Cope will be here at 8:30. Looks like I have for the last 2 or 3 months. But for some reason, we lost a bunch of people when we moved to 8:30. So we'll see what happens here. Let me get rid of some of these things here. Get them out of the way. There we go. Okay. And I don't know if you guys have been watching Facebook or watching the news here. We've got some interesting stuff coming up. And one of those is the fact that Sheriff Clark, David Clark, out of Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, says he is taking the job for the Department of Homeland Security. Says he's going to be the assistant secretary in DHS. So it's, you know, we've got mixed feelings about this. The organization itself is unconstitutional and shouldn't be there. It shouldn't even be in existence. But since it is, it's not going to go away. They're not just going to turn it off and get rid of it. The next best thing is to have constitutional people in there that will kind of try to steer it in the right direction. So we'll see how that turns out. And all that, we'll, that racket here in the background, will stop in just a second. I'm really interested to see. What I'm really interested to see is who he's choosing for FBI director. I was hoping
that it would be Sheriff Clark. So since it's not, my next choice would be Trey Gowdy. So we'll just have to wait and see here. He's starting his job next month. Says he's quitting in 30 days, so he's going to start in June. But apparently there was quite a bit of drama with this sheriff, with this appointment here. So it says that it appears that Clark may have gotten ahead of the Trump administration in his interview. Department of Homeland Security said no announcement had been made on any appointment involving Clark. So, interesting. We'll see what happens. Also, the federal staffer being replaced by Clark, which is Philip McNamara, took to Twitter to complain about his successor. He said, I'm being replaced at DHS.gov by Sheriff Clark. My job was to work with state and local officials. Clark says he wants to strangle Democrats. Well, Clark's got my vote. Works for me. And evidently, Trey Gowdy said he didn't want to. I think he said that quite a while back, that he wasn't interested in that. So we'll see. We'll see how this turns out. This should be a very interesting deal here. So, hang on. Let me get this stupid ad out of here. There it goes. All right. Now we got it. It looks as though Illinois has a bill to close local gun dealers here. They're scheduled for a hearing anyway. I don't know what it's doing, but it says on Tuesday, May 16th, the House Judiciary Committee is scheduled to consider Senate Bill 1657 designed to put local gun dealers out of business. Do you really think that's the problem in Chicago? I'm sure these gangbangers run down, let me run down to Walmart and buy a gun so I can go shoot everything up tonight. I don't think that really is the problem here. Said it would create so many regulations and fees and everything, potentially in the thousands of dollars and excessive amounts of red tape, that would almost assuredly force the closure of most of the firearms dealers and prevent prospective owners from opening new ones. The ATF already licenses and closely monitors all, we know that. So we'll kind of keep an eye on that and see what happens. I don't really expect it to go anywhere this time, but it sure might by next time. Once the seed has been planted, many times that's all it takes. Now they've planned a constitutional carry bill coming up in the state of Michigan. And I guess that drew some a lot of fire, so to speak, from the opposition. They said a pro-gun four-bill package was considered at a House Judiciary Committee Tuesday night with passionate testimony from both sides. One of the most discussed measures was would repeal the requirement to carry a concealed gun in the state repeal the permit requirement to carry a concealed weapon in the state for all lawful gun owners. So that Michigan? Yeah, Michigan. If that gets in there, Michigan's going to be the 16th state. 15th or 16th, thereabouts, anyway, to adopt constitutional carry, as they like to call it. I don't like to call it that because it's not, but I think permitless carry is the more correct way to phrase that. But anyway, said during her testimony, the bill would still keep the background check process intact and will not rid the state of its gun-free zones. It's currently legal in the state of Michigan for a law-abiding person to openly carry a firearm on their person without any training classes, fees, or state bureaucracy. It only becomes illegal when a person puts on a coat. I never understood that. That is the goofiest thing. Why we can carry one openly in so many states with no permit, no provision, no nothing. All you got to do is be a legal gun owner, and you can carry them. Some places you can carry them into bars and everything else. And nothing said. And all it takes is untucking your shirt and letting your shirt go over that gun, and then you become a felon in some states, and certainly misdemeanors in others. So, pretty goofy, if you ask me. This guy also said the measure would help those who can't afford to go through the current concealed carry permit process. So, I wish Michigan luck. I hope we get another one there. What I don't look for is a national reciprocity bill. I hope that does not pass. It sounds good for our side, and we all want it because it's something for us, but that's still just as unconstitutional as the one that takes that right away or that restricts that right. So, you're, as far as I'm concerned, it gets into the states' rights issue there. By forcing states that may not want to do it, that's up to the voters and the shooters and the gun owners and stuff in that state to get that squared away. It is not the Fed's place to say, hey, y'all going to recognize everybody's permits and learn to get along here. For one thing, what the Feds giveth, the Feds taketh away. So they don't like that part of it either. So. Yakima Glock, I don't know. I'm not sure what the, let's see, Springfield Armory didn't know the gun. I'll have to check into that. That's interesting. I don't know what's going on there. Anyway, let's move on down the, it's been quite a while ago. We talked about a kid, that got in trouble for what they call swatting. Most of you know what that is. These gamers get out there and they get beat in their game and they want to take it out. So they call law enforcement and give them their address and all the information and say, they're going to kill somebody or they're going to set off a bomb or going to do something. And then the SWAT shows up at his opponent's house, and there winds up being a big mess, and sometimes people taken to jail and people hurt and whatnot. So that's a very, very, very bad thing to do, very dangerous, very childish. Well, there's a kid here, 15 years old, that is going to be 35 when he gets out. And he is, naturally, he's going to be 40. He's going to be 40 years old when he gets out. Got 25 years. And there's a picture of him on this website here, and he is crying the blues, standing in court here. Got sentenced to 25 years for swatting. He got, 25 years for domestic terrorism. Let's see, he's going to jail for 25 years for domestic terrorism. Number one, 15-year-old convicted for domestic terrorism. Number two, calling in fake murders. This online gamer called in multiple false bomb threats and murders to his online gaming rivals. The authorities are taking a much firmer stance on this now, and they have no sympathy for the teen. I have no sympathy for him either. That was a stupid idea. That's been around long enough that anybody should know not to do that. You should know not to do it anyway. That's common sense. You'd think if someone's 15 years old, it might be something if you were seven. But even then, I would think most kids would know better than that. So, let's see. They get their... Now, the bad thing about this one, this was a problem. It wastes time and money. It gets SWAT out there, and sometimes it gets people hurt. In this case, Let's see, Paul Horner was arrested because he was playing Battlefield 4 and getting beaten by another player. He called in a SWAT attack on this person. When the SWAT team arrived, this other player's father was critically injured after being shot by the SWAT team. This was in part because of what the kid said on the phone. He said, he called in a fake murder to start with, and he said, I just shot and killed four people. If any police enter my home, I will kill them too. So, yeah, in this case, I can't really blame the cops. When they get that call, now I don't know if there's any way if they have some kind of enhanced caller ID or something that they maybe could have determined where the call come from. You know, if he called on Skype or something, then there's no way to check. There's no way to know. And if the guy was sitting in the chair and raised a remote up to turn the TV off, then, you know, what do you expect him to do? Anyway, he said the judge had no mercy on this kid. He said he was going to make an example of him, and so people didn't try this in the future. And that's, you know, and Susie B's right. 15-year-old boys are stupid and do stupid things. I was stupid. I ain't got over it yet, but I wasn't that stupid. You know, we did stupid things like trying to do handstands on a running horse and stuff like that, you know, or standing up on a motorcycle seat and then hitting a little sandy stretch in a wash and going end over end, you know, and landing on our head somewhere or something. But we didn't ever do anything like this trying to hurt or inconvenience people or retaliate for a stupid video game or something like that. We had our share of stupidness, no doubt about it. Let me see if this is the old one. Nope, this is a new one. And this is a real one. A video of a semi-truck driving through a group of protesters recently gone viral on social media. This is brand new today. Story. He said this was posted on a Facebook page called Shut Down Chicago Slaughterhouses, which appears to have been created in order to organize protests to disrupt the business of livestock haulers in the Chicago area. In this video, which took place day before yesterday. Hang on, I'm getting a little feedback here. What's going on? Where was I at? Several protesters can be seen standing in front of an unsuspecting livestock hauler attempting to stop the rig. You know, 15-year-old boys are stupid, yeah? These people are stupid, and they're 50 years old. 30, you know, 25, 50, 40. And you're going to go stand in front of an 18-wheeler and say, stop right there? I'm not going to let you know. No, that's beyond stupid, actually. Some of the protesters even reach into the trailer, interfering with the livestock being hauled. Despite the group's best effort to impede the loaded semi-truck, the driver continues to push forward, forcing protesters out of the way. The driver eventually makes it past the protesters and continues to his destination. The Shut Down Chicago Slaughterhouses Facebook page shared the footage and thanked the protesters for participating in the illegal disruption of business, writing, thank you, brave activists. Oh, please. Okay, well, tell you what, these people are something else. All right, let's go on here to, you guys heard that ABC has canceled Tim Allen's show that, Last Man Standing. I never watched it, but I've heard it was a pretty good show. And Tim Allen is conservative and from everybody's best guess, you know, second most watched comedy this season, 8.1 million viewers. But because of some things he said and done in his conservative stance, apparently they've pulled the plug on it. Well, it's not working out for them as well as they had hoped. I guess ABC has just been hammered with calls that saying people that they'll never never watch ABC again, that they're shutting it off and all that. So, of course, it doesn't do any good. There's always people on Facebook say, I boycotted them a long time ago. I haven't been watching TV in 15 years. You know, that has no effect. It has no effect on what matters is when you stop watching ABC compared to, you know, the other networks. But anyway, apparently they have just been absolutely beat to death here with boycott calls. So I'm going to really be paying attention to this. That's good. You know, people are, a lot of people are starting to stand up and do, this has been a very slow, very, very slow process here of getting people to, you know, to fight with their wallets and their attendance in different things and whatnot. It's been horribly slow, but we're seeing quite an increase in participation in things like this. Here it says, Tim Allen said during the Jimmy Kimmel show in March that living in Hollywood right now was akin to being in Nazi Germany. And that doesn't go well in the entertainment industry, I guess. We have precious few people that are willing to say things like that. But here's one that says, these are tweets, Twitter posts here. It says, I'm furious. Just heard ABC cancel Last Man Standing. My husband and I love the show, and Tim Allen, we will boycott ABC. ABC, you are liars. Last Man Standing is one of the most honest shows on TV with the real life lessons for teens and families. My boycott, and boycott. ABC is now dead to me, and we all will boycott you. Cancel Last Man Standing for no reason but political. And it just goes on and on and on. There's oodles and gobs of them here. So I think that's funny. I hope it has some effect. I would really laugh if they got hit hard enough to bring it back. All right, let's keep moving on down here. I'm going to save that one. I got a couple of them here I'm going to save for later. But this one, I'll do this one after the break. Let's, there's one here where Nevada jailers, I don't know if you saw that on Facebook or in the news, where Nevada jailers literally beat a man to death, tortured him and beat him to death on camera. In jail, and let's see, the guy was from Reno. Not sure if the jail was in Reno or not, but anyway, it was a it's in Washoe County, so it very well could have been Reno. I think that's Washoe County. But then there's another one here. Where a Texas cop had fatally shot a, he's looking like he's been crying too. He's God hell is, he has collected him up some murder charges for fatally shooting a 15-year-old kid when he responded to a call at a house party. Just how long ago was this? 2 weeks ago. Dallas Sheriff's Department said that he turned himself over to authorities shortly after issuing a warrant for his arrest Friday. He has been released on a $300,000 bond. The department added the arrest does not conclude the investigation into the death of this kid. So that's a problem is, said that, well, this may not be a problem. Usually it's they do this mock investigation and say, well, he was in fear of his life and his shooting was justified. However, on this one, it said that, The cop walked outside to see a vehicle leaving the area, retrieved a rifle, and opened fire. Said the vehicle was backing toward him in an aggressive manner, and he had a body cam on. So how stupid was that? Said a review of the body cam, the video has not been released to the public, showed the vehicle actually driving away from him when he opened fire. The shot struck 15-year-old Edwards, who was sitting in the passenger seat, in the head. He died a short time later in the hospital. Unclear where the initial sound of gunfire started. So, there's no way that you can convince me, or not likely anyway, that he's called to a party for whatever reason, and the car was driving away, and he grabs his rifle and popped off a few rounds at it as it's driving away. It's going to be really hard to convince me that there was anything remotely justified about that. They, according to the story, they were not fleeing felons. They were just fleeing guys that had pissed him off for some reason or another. And so that doesn't cut it. That is not a justified shooting. That is murder. And with any luck, that's what he'll get charged with. Well, he has been charged with it, actually. So hopefully it'll stick. So with that being said here, I've got to take a little short break here. And I'll be back.
I'll be back.
The Germans had the biggest ship that had the biggest guns. The Bismarck was the fastest ship that ever sailed the sea. On her decks were guns as big as steers and shells as big as trees. Out of the cold and foggy night came the British ship.
Dear Uncle Sam, I know you're a busy man, and tonight I write to you through tears with a trembling hand.
My name is John Q. Public, and I am a member in good standing of an organization called America, and I have a message for those agencies and agents that work under the auspices of the Department of Justice. You have called me many things in the past: rebel, right-wing extremist, domestic terrorist, to name a few, but that is not important. What I'm about to tell you is, there must be accountability in all things, sooner or later. When you sin, however big or small, you will be held accountable, either in this life or the next. When you invade people's privacy, violate their rights, steal property, break up families, and hurt people, the time is fast approaching that you will be held accountable both in this life and the next. You and I took the same oath, administered by the same people. We both swore to protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Some of you actually feel that you honor that oath, but you violate it each time you force a young girl to her bedroom floor in nothing but her underwear and hold her there at gunpoint. Or when you shoot or stomp a family pet to death, or shoot a young boy down in cold blood in the mountains of Idaho, or incinerate over 70 innocent people in a church in Texas. Warriors, indeed. How dare you call me a domestic terrorist? I go to work every day, sometimes at two jobs to make ends meet. I attend church every Sunday that I'm not working. As difficult as it is, I try to make time each day for my kids. I teach them about the Constitution and the Golden Rule. I have extra food and supplies to help myself and others through hard times. I try as hard as I can to obey the ever-increasing number of laws that are forced upon us, and I pay my fair share of taxes. I have a gun to protect myself and my family against those who would do us harm. I shouldn't have to use it to protect us against you. In fact, your organization is not even authorized by the Constitution and shouldn't be here, but since you are here, let's talk about your job description and performance. We have common enemies, you and I, that we should be united in fighting. The Founding Fathers never intended for us to fight each other. We should be as one. The current us against them attitude should never have been allowed to rear its ugly head. Division is unhealthy for the country. You will undoubtedly conduct more unconstitutional invasions of homes and businesses, and more innocent people will be injured or killed. A dairy in Pennsylvania, a rabbit grower in Kansas, a gun shop in New Mexico. It may even be me and my family. But let me make one thing abundantly clear. We, the people, have grown weary of living in fear. We're tired of being treated like animals. If you continue to follow the path that you are on, the time may come when you will not find us waiting to be descended upon when we least expect it. We may come to you. We outnumber you 1,000 to 1, and the same people that trained you trained many of us. We, the people, are becoming aware of those numbers. One day, you will launch one of your cowardly sneak attacks on an unsuspecting young family in Idaho, and instead of your brave sniper finding a defenseless, unarmed woman holding a baby in her arms, he may find that the tables have been turned. One day, instead of terrorizing and destroying another American family in retribution for a trivial infraction of an unconstitutional law, instead of shooting down defenseless children or young veterans that are trying only to live the American dream, you may find patriots waiting for you that have been pushed to their limit. One day, you will find that you have awakened a sleeping giant, and we the people will indeed hold you accountable for your evil deeds. Hundreds of men, women, and children have died at your hand because of poor information, no information, or just plain overzealous, out-of-control power freaks on an adrenaline high that have no regard for human life. Agents that think their badge is a license to kill with impunity. The difference between you and us is that we will not harm your family as long as they stay out of the fight. I don't want your family to go through what you have put many of ours through. Yes, they will be sad if you don't come home, but when the grieving is over, they will come to understand that you simply chose the wrong side. You see, this is nothing more than a conflict between good and evil. It's that simple, but this is not how it is supposed to be. This is not the America that the Founding Fathers entrusted us with. I implore each of you, before you go to work tomorrow, to take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror and see if you truly like what you see. If you can look at yourself and be proud of what you've done, or what you may be called upon to do, or more importantly, if you feel that you can walk uprightly before God and look Him in the eye and feel justified in what you have done, then we have nothing further to discuss. But some of you are not really jackbooted thugs. Some of you are simply misguided and feel that you really are doing the right thing. To you, I say, please, follow your conscience, do what you know in your heart is right, for we the people will hold you accountable.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country. That ain't country.
Yeah, we can.
All right, we're back. Looks like our sound is still up and running. Rolex just joined us. Glad you made it. My chat thing is going to turn too light to read, and I haven't got time to go change it right now. So let's see. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just change the color of my font and let it go with that for now, and I'll fix it after the show. How about that? Okay, that'll work. All right. I'm going to read what Yakima Glockhead said. They don't know the number of the bill, but that's the one I just got through talking about, Yakima Glock. But apparently, according to this, Springfield Armory and Rock River Arms created a lobbying organization and through it supported this bill. Now that the bill is coming to light, the Second Amendment supporters, Springfield is backpedaling it in a big way. You know, I've never liked Springfield. I don't like their politics. I don't like their guns. I can't say that. Most of their handguns I'm not a fan of. I do like most of their rifles though. They've got some good rifles. But If they're going to act like this, then I'm not going to buy any of their damned old rifles, at least not new ones. Used ones doesn't affect their bottom line there any, but new ones do. All right, let's see. I think I just lost. There it is. Right, this is kind of a neat deal. This is a oldie but a goodie here. Talking about the M3. How many of you know what a grease gun is? I know Doc and Rolex and Radio Doc and Yakima Glock probably does. Knows what a grease gun is. A grease gun is mostly a bullet waster. It was a small submachine gun, relatively low rate of fire by today's standards, and it had very low degree of accuracy, at least all the ones that I shot while I was in Europe. But that was when you could buy 9 million 45s for $20, too, so I guess it didn't matter, or whatever they were. But this is one about this little story is about a suppressed grease gun used for clandestine operation and also had a booby trap attachment for it. So it said specifically, let's see what to say here. While the M3 was a simple 45 ACP burp gun popular with the late war regular GIs of the day and designed as a cheap and easy replacement for the much more complex Thompson, the gun in Ian's hands was made for use of more covert operations. Ian was the guy that this guy went and visited here and was talking about this gun, specifically for an assassination team behind the lines of German-occupied Europe. One thing I can say about the grease gun is that you could run over it with a tank, and if it wasn't laying on a rock or something, you know, and you bend the receiver on it, you couldn't hurt these guns. They were exceedingly, ridiculously simple, and very rugged, very heavy duty, and you just couldn't stop the damn thing from shooting. It just, but like I said, their accuracy was not great. The trigger was awful, and but it worked, and it worked all the time. So this particular one, it said the war ended before this specimen could be used, leaving it in collector-grade condition, including its wire mesh-screened over-barrel suppressor. As for the booby trap trigger device, well, evidently, the next story that they write is going to be on that trigger device. They're not including it in this one. That's just great. Okay. Well, I guess we'll just keep watching this, and when the next one comes out, then we'll talk about it then. But I tell you, my favorite submachine gun, I guess if you want to include the I can't think of it. Little H&Ks anyway. But I think the favorite one I had while I was over there was the Uzi. I was most impressed with the Uzi. Much more accurate than the grease gun. And they call it a grease gun because it looks pretty much like a grease gun. If you've ever taken or seen someone do to grease your vehicle or a tractor or whatever, the gun that they held, that's pretty much what the 45, what the M3s look like. But the Uzi, I was most impressed with the rate of fire. Of course, it was very, very, you know, much, much faster than the grease gun. But even at that rate of fire, the accuracy, it's so controllable that it at reasonable ranges being far longer distance than the grease gun, you could literally cut a target in half. And you just shoot it in the top fall off of it if you hold it kind of steady there. I mean, it was, I really like those little guns. And I shot a lot of the HKs and stuff while I was over there. There was a short period of time there. What was it? 30 days, I believe it was. That I was attached to a German infantry unit over there and went through their, you know, I earned the Schützensteuer, you know, a little German shooting award and all that stuff. Got to shoot a lot of neat weapons over there. MP5, thank you, Yakima Glock, jeez. Got to shoot a lot of neat stuff. Got to shoot the Panzerfaust. We think we talked about this here not too long ago. We went and found a picture of it. It was a shot white phosphorus grenades and stuff like that. So I won't go into all that again. I think we've talked about this once before. But anyway, that was a lot of fun. I had a ball with those guys. I really did. I had a lot of fun with them. Got to shoot a lot of neat stuff, too. So let's see here. Excuse me. I don't know if we talked about this yet. I don't believe we have. Those of you back during... hold on just a second. Dadgummit. Stand by. All right, I think we got that cleared up. There was a while, I don't think since during all the time that Just Measures was on, maybe back during the very beginning, there was a guy named Tick. Tick was his screen name on the chat room. And he'd been with us, I think, since the Watchmen days. Huh? Yeah, and Amy just said she misses him being on the show. He's a neat guy. I mean, we're friends on Facebook and stuff. Both of us are, I think. And he sends us stuff every once in a while. He's very much on our side. Lives in Canada. And his work schedule and the time difference and all that, he's just not able to make the show. He goes to bed early, and he's just not able to make it. He does listen to podcast archives and stuff. But here's a... story from, I guess, was it Toronto? Yeah, City of Toronto has a new administrative penalty tribunal hearing building under construction here. Some municipal bylaws can have fines of up to $10,000 per day if you don't pay them when the notice is received. They will be applied to your property taxes. So think about what can happen here. Easy thing for municipalities to potentially take land, your home, whatever, for non-payment of property taxes. Here's how it could work. Your kid plays road hockey. Now let me back up a little bit because there's something that I left out. So when people get upset because you aren't getting your day in court, they received a parking ticket. All right, that's all come back in this bill. Legally speaking, under this bill, well, I don't know where that part went. Well, let's say here that your kid plays road hockey out there and the municipality has passed a bylaw banning road hockey. So you might receive a notice that you are non-compliant with this bylaw. You go to the municipality and say you were not aware of the bylaw. Well, sorry about that. You still have to pay. Now, you live in a very quiet street with little or no traffic, just kids. So you want to challenge the law? It's fine. And the bylaw in court. Challenge the fine and the bylaw in court. But sorry, you can't because this law disallows you your day in court. You're not allowed to challenge the fine, the bylaw, or any other bylaws as there are no provisions in the amendment for a court challenge. It just means you pay or you lose your house or your land or both. According to Stephen Parker, president for the Ontario Paralegal Association, in an article On this bill, it says it denies a person's right to challenge the allegation of what is now an offense. They're promoting this as a cost-cutting initiative for the municipalities and nothing to do with a person's right to face their accuser. Since this is implemented, it would affect the vast majority of paralegals who represent clients who on provincial offenses matters. So say you decide you're not going to pay the fine because you feel that without a chance to have your day in court, it simply isn't right. Well, sorry. The government will just add the cost to the fine of your property taxes as a debt to the municipality, and if you don't pay, you can lose your home, property within 2 years for non-payment of property taxes. This bill also specifies a new requirement for green roofs on new construction, essentially vegetation growing on the roof. Think about the cost and the bugs or other pests that this will attract. Think about the snow load in the winter, the weight of these roofs and the danger it may cause. How come if you have one roof over here and a roof over there, it's called roofs? But a horse has a hoof on each foot, spelled the same, only one with the R and one with the H, and it's hooves. How come it isn't roofs? Roofs, roofs, roofs. Another stupid thing in the English language. Anyway, that's what's going on in Canada. There's a little bit more to the bill here, but it needs to be defeated. So if you have any friends up in that neck of the woods, better make them aware of this. Get them to fighting it. We don't have much to fight with up there, but they can try, I guess. You know, there's a deal going on for those of you that follow me on Facebook. I posted a thing on there today about something that's going on since the Bundy deal. You know, the feds were very put out about being stood down there and backed up. And they did something that is really catching hell right now, and some people are getting in trouble over it. However, it's too late. Like I've said before, you cannot unring a bell. All of the damage that this has caused, I don't think it could be undone, but it won't be undone. What happened was the FBI put together a fake, with your tax money, put together a fake video, you know, movie production company, documentary production, and they went and talked to some of these people that were involved up there, including Ammon Bundy and Ryan Bundy and some of the others. The name of this company was Longbow Productions. Now, Longbow Productions had gotten a hold of, well, they didn't get a hold of me. They got a hold of me through another guy and asked if we would do an interview with them. And we thought about it for a while and decided, you know what, that doesn't sound good. So we didn't do it, but a lot of these other people did. They say they checked it out and checked out okay. We checked it out. We looked at their website, and it's very, very small, very basic, and very new. So we decided against it. But at any rate, these people basically did it was basically interrogation through some of the questions that they asked under the guise of getting material for the movie, for the documentary. And that is what put a lot of these guys away, is the information that they got from this deal. I wish I could play you the sound of this right here. You know, I might anyway. Stand by here just a minute. You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to bring this up, and I want you to listen to it. It's 7 or 8 minutes long. It's going to run us over just a little bit, but I want you to listen to this because it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's damn sure worth listening to. So we're going to run over time just a little, and then we'll close when we get back. But I'd like for you to listen to this for those of you that are not Facebookers or haven't seen this yet. I think this will be very interesting for you. Now, remember, it takes me just a second to get switched over here once I get started. So stand by just a minute, and we'll get this done. A lot of interesting things have come about here just in the last few days over this Bundy deal here. So let me switch over here, and I'll be back in just a minute.
It turned out the FBI had been trying to build its case against Ammon and his family ever since the standoff in 2014. Shortly after the standoff had ended, the FBI infiltrated the family ranch.
Hello, Bundy.
Yes, can I speak with Father Bundy, please?
May I ask who's calling?
This is Charles Johnson with Longbow Productions.
Okay, just a second, let me get to it.
They posed as a documentary film company, Longbow Productions, and filmed over several months.
This is Dan Dix here reporting for Press for Truth with breaking news today. The footage you just watched is part of a video that proves that the FBI posed as documentary filmmakers so that they could infiltrate the Bundy Ranch. This is something we've been warning about for years, that the FBI was directly involved in this, and now we have the proof. So today we're going to dissect this newly released video. We need to look at the whole picture here for context. So let's start back where this story begins in April of 2014, when hundreds of people, some of them armed, some of them private militia members, joined with peaceful protesters at what became known as the Battle of Bunkersville in Nevada, where the Bundys were trying to defend their cattle ranch. I covered it quite extensively on the day that it happened. Here, Stefan Molyneux and I gave our analysis on what took place there, and I'll include links to that in the description below. But this essentially is what led the FBI to become interested in infiltrating the group. By January of 2016, the Bundys were already standing their ground at the second standoff in Oregon at the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge, which ended in the Bundys' arrest and also the death of their friend Lavoy Finicum. I called it live on the air that Lavoy was killed by the feds, and then I followed that up with this video that showed how the FBI needs to be investigated for this. Now here we are in May of 2017, and we have the proof that the FBI posed as documentary filmmakers in order to infiltrate the Bundy Ranch. And here's the video that needs to go viral, so share this video when you're done watching it. Here's the clip.
It turned out the FBI had been trying to build its case against Ammon and his family ever since the standoff in 2014. Shortly after the standoff had ended, the FBI infiltrated the family ranch.
Hello, Bundy.
Yes, can I speak with Father Bundy, please?
May I ask who's calling?
This is Charles Johnson with Longbow Productions.
Okay, just a second, let me get to it.
They posed as a documentary film company, Longbow Productions, and filmed over several months. The footage has not been broadcast before, and we've concealed the undercover agents' identities and voices.
This is Ammon Bundy. How are you doing?
How are you?
I don't know if you can tell, but there's a little level of uncomfortable, and just wanted to make sure that we're all on the same page.
Absolutely.
So we looked you up online, and we found just a pretty simple website.
I just don't keep a lot of stuff on there because it's not my product anymore, and that's why I'm investing my money here, is because I don't want it to go to the wrong hands.
I think I've got what I want. I feel a lot more comfortable about it.
Hey, I'm looking forward to actually sitting down with you.
Our concept is broken.
Did you think you might have to take a life?
I never did once think I'd have to take a life.
I was never armed. I mean, I
in the interviews, they wanted to know who planned the standoff and who was in charge.
How would you put yourself in the family rank structure? Because it seems to me that you're very influential to your family.
So, at the circumstance or just in general?
Well, with the circumstance, like when y'all get together.
My dad was really skeptical. You know, he really was. And I ended up basically talking my family into it. And so, you know, they went to our home.
Can you hear me now, testing, testing?
I think about that.
All right.
The whole time my mom's in there cooking for them and they're plotting to destroy our family.
The FBI also used its access to the Bundy family to convince militia members to talk. One of them was Greg Burleson, who had been at the standoff.
And on that note, I'd like another shot.
What would be the response if then had the federal government come back then?
Dead bodies? Literally.
So just engage them as soon as...
Once we set up a perimeter, anything that comes into the perimeter, it doesn't matter if we're up at the Bundy Ranch or if we're out in the southern deserts. If it comes into our perimeter, if it's not a friendly, it dies.
The FBI declined to comment on the operation, but federal prosecutors used some of the footage to help convict Burleson of 8 charges, including threatening and assaulting a federal officer. He faces a minimum of 57 years in prison.
I have to know. Have you ever told anybody?
I can't tell you that. I can't tell you that. If we don't stand now, we will never get our lands back.
The footage is also part of the upcoming case against the Bundy family.
Is this an interview and a documentary, or is this an interrogation?
Is this a documentary or is this an interrogation, Bundy asked. Well, this is what his lawyer, Dan Hill, had to say about the FBI's operation. They impersonated journalists so that they could interrogate people the FBI fully intended on charging with serious crimes without any lawyers present. We should not have to fear that our government is infiltrating America's sacred press and media institutions in order to try to gain prosecutorial advantages against its own people. And that's what this is all about. They are scared right now, folks. They are very afraid that you are waking up and you're starting to see through their web of deceit and lies. So they're starting to go to extreme lengths in order to maintain their power and their control. But it's too late, because we already know the biggest secret, and here it is. Their system of control is set up in a pyramidal structure, and the beauty in that lies in the fact that it is all of us who make up the base. And when enough people awaken from their slumber and unplug from the matrix, as it were, there is nothing they'll be able to do to stop the collapse. So we have to do everything we can right now to expose this deceit and this web of deception before too many people get swallowed up in it. At Press for Truth, we're bringing you the information that the mainstream media wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole, partly because they're not allowed to. But at PFT, we have no overlords, and we have no financial backers. But what we do have is something far greater than that, and that is the support of you, the viewers. So thank you so much to anybody who has become a PFT patron by signing up at...
All right, let me shut this thing down. And that, if you want to watch the video, of course, not a lot to watch on there. There's a little bit. It's kind of interesting. Go to my Facebook page, my personal page, also on LFA 3% Arizona. Yeah, I think I put it on that one, too. So, very interesting stuff, and certainly it was wrong what they did. It was illegal what they did, but like I said, they did it. Can't unring a bell. They already, the damage has been done. And I suppose we just sit back and watch and enjoy the show. I don't know. That appears to be about the size of it. Anyway, be that as it may, we will be back here Friday with Liberty Lounge. Haven't decided what the theme might be yet. It might be rock. I'm not sure yet, but I will find out. And I will let you know sometime between now and Liberty Lounge time. So, good night, and we'll see you then.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.